Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, I'm Eric Bledsoe, the Phoenix Sun, and I'm in the cave with my man, PLR.
Happy Mondays to you. The Cave Show, this is your boy, PLR. Hopefully everyone is having a great Monday. We got a big, big show for you today. Scheduled to appear today, the one and only, Ed Smith. One half, the man himself. Easy Sports Show, over on NBC Radio, heard every Saturday. Scheduled to join us today. Best part is, Ed played professional baseball, professional football. So we have football questions, we have baseball questions. Talk very little basketball today, but we got to get some stuff in, especially with college kids, this whole Rick Pitino thing, so we definitely want to touch on that. Happy Monday again, everyone. This is the Cave Show. This is PLR. We're brought to you by the one, the only, Maduro's Fine Cigar and Tobacco, located on Alma School in Chandler Heights in Chandler, Arizona. Get down there and check them out. Let them know PLR from the Cave Show sent you. They will give you 10%. That's right, 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. The best part about going into Maduro's is that you never, ever have to worry about your cigars getting ruined. And here's why. Don't take them home. You probably don't have a humidor. You want to stick them in a Ziploc bag and put something in there that someone is going to tell you to keep them fresh. Don't do that. Become a club member. Get your own locker that backs up to the humidor. Put your cigars in there. Come down. Relax. Take your sticks out of the locker. And enjoy them. There's over 11 flat-screen televisions in there for you to watch games. They have the NFL ticket. They do not close. Let me say it again. They do not close until the last football game is off. So Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, you never have to worry about getting that tap on your shoulder saying, hey, we're closed. They don't leave until the game is off. So get down there again. Let them know that PLR sent you, and they will take 10% off of any cigar purchase that you have. Wow. We got a lot to talk about today. We're going to have calls coming in, I'm sure, on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Are the Giants that bad? Is Kansas City that good? Where will the Giants go now without Odell Beckham? Mitchell Trubisky debuts tonight. Does Houston close out Boston? Do the Cubs take a commanding lead on Washington? Is Joe Girardi going to leave the Yankees? There is so much out there. J.J. Watt heard again. We have so much out there to talk about. We have a caller online on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. Let's get to our caller first. Caller, thanks for calling in. Who do we have?
We have Lou from Jersey. How are you, Plar?
Hey, how are you doing today, Lou? Hopefully you had a good weekend.
Yeah, kind of warm for October standards, but I'm holding up, and I've been keeping track of almost everything. And, boy, what a weekend. First of all,
yes, sir.
If the Yankees do lose this series, they're going to hang Girardi. I mean, they're going to hang him, just about. Because how do you blow, you have an 8-3 lead, a shoe-in to win this game, and you blow it because you made one stupid call. Oh, we didn't interrupt the phone of the pitcher. I didn't want to make the replay. Like, what? You call yourself a professional manager? How could you be so stupid?
Yeah, that's a tough one to swallow. Even if they lost it, they just would have lost it. But I would have definitely have challenged that call. I understand flow of the game. I understand all that. But in the playoffs, anything that might help you, you have to take advantage of all of that.
Yeah, but didn't help them.
No, I agree. He should have done a replay on that, because the call, I think, would have been reversed, to be honest with you.
Yes.
I think they would have won that call. But let me ask you this. By you saying that, let me ask you this. Girardi, I don't know if the Yankees are going to offer him another contract. Or they may do the Joe Torre thing and offer him a contract that's so low that they know he's not going to accept it, but they can then say, we offered him a contract. He has averaged 91 victories a year over the last 9 years, which is more than anyone in baseball. They've won a World Series. They're technically a year ahead of schedule by being in the playoffs. Is one or two mistakes,
but
does that overshadow everything else that he's done?
Well, you know how the Yankee organization can be with their big shots up there. They won a championship. They won't just sell for just a playoff run, you know, like wild card division series, you know, for so long. So when you're talking to the big bosses upstairs, I think they're saying, well, Joe, you've done all you could, but you're not getting what we want. And after this mistake, that might just add to it. So I'm afraid if they don't get to the next round, he's a goner.
Yeah, and I think so too. And I honestly, I'm not you know, a New York Yankee a fan. I don't hate the Yankees. I've been to the old stadium, and it was honestly one of the treats of my life to go there, because there was nothing like old Yankee Stadium. But sometimes in sports and in life, sometimes I think that, I hate to say we go too far, but we go too far. We could say this guy in 9 years has had the most victories. He's won us a World Series. He's done all these things right. Yeah, he's made two or three bonehead plays. He has a young team. Like, the young team is back that they had back in the day. And they're ahead of schedule. They weren't even predicted to go to the playoffs. Yeah, but it's time for him to go. Honestly, I think that's kind of crazy a little bit. You know what I mean? Maybe you don't offer him a 5-6 year deal, but offer him a 2-3 year deal. He obviously has the ears of these young players because they're in the playoffs.
Right, but like you said, if it's only going to be like a 2 year deal, do you think he'll take it? I mean, he just wanted to say, well, if you're not going to give me at least a five year deal, I'm going. So we got to look at that point as well.
Let me ask you this. How would it look then if the Yankees don't bring him back? What if his buddy Derek Jeter brings him back to Miami to manage the Florida Marlins?
Oh, boy. Hell was just frozen over. Yeah, that could be another possibility. I mean, Jeter and Girardi together again. Yeah,
you could totally.
I mean, that could be the golden opportunity.
You could, and then how would it look for you guys then to go out and bring back Mattingly as your manager? Basically, you could trade managers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's possible. I mean, the old shell game, but Mattingly didn't give us a world didn't give us a World Series
as a player, huh? So
yeah,
let me ask you this question. If I'm a big proponent, then, and I love the fact that you're a Yankees fan, because I say this to big market sports fans all the time.
Then what's the 70s?
If you get rid of what you got, well, who do you want in replace? Like, if you looked out on the landscape right now and you want this guy gone, then who do you go and get?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
problem.
When you fire him, you got to hire someone else. So who do you want?
Yeah, that's the question right there.
You know, that's that infamous when you're married and you're not happy. You want to fire the devil that you know to go get the devil that you don't know. Which one?
Yeah.
You know, which one is it? Cutler, I heard Bears fans for years say they didn't want Cutler anymore. Well, fortunately, they drafted someone.
Win.
Hopefully he pans out. He plays tonight. But you got Mike Glennon. So you got rid of Cutler, a guy who threw a lot of interceptions.
Glennon, oh boy.
And you went out and got a guy that's worse, that throws even more interceptions. So sometimes when you're married to someone, you got to stick with them. So my question is, who do you want?
Yeah. Yeah, I know. That's the problem. But, you know, if Drury does go, then I think we got to go. I think we got to get Donnie Baseball.
Donnie Baseball, yeah, I hear you. Look, because we know Billy Martin's not walking back through that locker room.
I thought I saw his ghost pass by just the other day.
Next question for you real quick, since you're – I know you're in the New York area sports fans. If I would have told you at the beginning of the year the Jets would be competing for first place in their division and the Giants would be 0-5, would you have believed me?
Yes and no. I'll put it this way. I didn't think the Jets were going to do as bad as last season. I mean, I was thinking there was going to be improvement, but I didn't think it was going to be like, you know, first place in the division. I thought maybe it was going to be like a 7-9 season, which would be an improvement from last year, but I was not thinking playoff caliber. So this is a nice surprise. Now, on the flip side of that, nobody, not even me, even though I'm not a Giants fan, I did not expect them to be 0-5, and now with your star player, Al Beckham, I think it's only going to get worse from this point out. I think they might even be lucky if they even win 2 games this season, if that.
Well, you know, yesterday was very costly. Not only did they lose him, they lost 3 other wide receivers at the same time. Eli is looking not the greatest, but then can you really blame him considering he has no one to throw to?
No.
So it's going to be tough. And they go to Denver next. And I can't think of who they're playing after that, but they have another tough game. They can actually be 0-8 by the time their bye rolls around. If McAdoo has a job by then, something is wrong.
If he doesn't get a win by the end of October, McAdoo is gone.
Yeah, I agree. Honestly, I think even if he gets a win by your bye week, I think if he doesn't get a win or only gets a win before the bye, I believe he should be fired anyway.
Yeah, I don't think they get a win before the bye week. If that doesn't happen, like I said, before the bye week, which I think is end of October, if they don't get a win by then, see ya.
Yep. Team's not buying it.
See, the New York media, it's a very tough place, you know, to play. If you do well, the media is going to praise you. The fans will love you. The coach will, you know, want to stick you around for a while. But if you do horrible, oh, boy, you would not believe the trash talk that comes out of the New York media. The fans will razz on you. The coaches will do anything they can to fire you. Your own mother won't want to speak to you for a month.
Well, I will tell you this. Everything on that on the right side of Mississippi, of the Mississippi and the Great River, and I'll include Dallas as the one exception.
Okay.
In Chicago, New York, Philly, they all in Cleveland, they all take sports at a totally different level than those on the West Coast. Philadelphia booed Santa Claus, so they will fill a stadium.
Wow.
It doesn't matter. They will fill a stadium in those cities either to cheer you or boo you. The fans are loyal. The fans come out. The fans are knowledgeable. And so they want the product that they pay for when they buy those tickets. And if it means that they have to boo you out to make you hear them, they will. They will cheer if you're doing well, like you said. But sports out there is a whole different concept. And you're right, Yankees fans and media are a beast. But like I said, I still say Philly because if you boo Santa Claus, you will boo anybody.
Why would you boo Santa Claus?
It was Philadelphia. That's what Philadelphia does. If you've never been around Philadelphia media before,
I have.
Philadelphia fans, they will boo and boo and boo. Not media so much because media covers, but the fans will boo you. I don't know if you remember, but there was a time where Michael Irvin got hurt in Old Vet Stadium where the field was basically concrete. The fans cheered. That's Philadelphia. That's the way it goes in Philly. So
yeah, Philly is a rough crowd.
Philly's tough. But anyway, listen, I appreciate you calling in today. Please stick around for the rest of the show. We got the one and only Ed Smith coming up. So
I
appreciate you, buddy, and stick around.
Dinner,
hopefully, we'll hear from you tomorrow.
If I have dinner, though, then I got to split.
All righty, my man. I appreciate it now.
All right.
Talk to you soon. All righty. Bye-bye. Bye. on the Carrie Lackey Law Line right now, the man himself, best rated Phoenix talk show every Saturday from 10 to 12, the one and only Ed Smith. Ed, what's happening?
What's going on, Brother Paul? Sorry I'm a few minutes late, but I got caught up and trying to scramble and get ready for this game tonight. Looking forward to seeing you down there.
Oh, yeah. You know, I still got to run home, get cleaned up, you know. You maybe touch up the dreads a little bit. You never know when the camera might strike you.
just out of coincidence, right when I chimed in, I heard the last bit of the caller. You know, I guess you guys were talking about the game that Michael Irvin got hurt over there in Philly. I was actually with the Eagles on the field that day.
The fans cheered.
They were cheering. I've never been so embarrassed in my entire life. Those were like our home fans, and the man is out there laying, you know, laid out. They're coming, bringing the stretcher and things like that, and the fans were cheering, man. I mean, I almost felt like we needed as an organization to apologize to Dallas and Michael Irvin, but, I mean, that's Philly, man.
Yeah, I was watching that game. It was the game of the week. I was actually watching that game. I saw him go down to get the ball and just – like, as soon as he went down, you knew something was wrong. And when they were carting him out, and I'm listening to the cheers, I'm like, the only thing I thought was they did boo Santa Claus.
Well, they threw snowballs at Santa Claus. They booed him after snowballs at him. So that tells you something right there.
Yeah, it started because he was talking about the New York media. And I said, well, people on, with the exception of Dallas, people on the right side of the Mississippi River, Chicago, Cleveland, Philly, New York, Boston, their fans and their media is at a whole different level. They're very knowledgeable. The writers are very knowledgeable, and they take their sports very seriously. And this is not knocking L.A. This is not knocking West Coast City. But you don't show up late, fashionably late for a game in New York. Or Philly. There's no fashion to be late.
Yeah. I mean, it's a totally different breed of fan, man.
Yeah. You show up late on the East Coast in the second quarter for a game, there's someone sitting in your seat, especially if it's
no
a good
doubt.
Seat.
And daring you to tell them to get up, too.
Exactly. Or if there is no one in your seat and you're just getting there, about three excuse me into your seats, the people sitting next to you are cursing like, oh, my God, get to the game on time.
Yeah.
And you know you better not get up again until halftime. You better not say, excuse me, going back the other way to get anything, because they'll say, you should have got it when you were running late. So there's a whole different fan base. Whole different fan base. So games yesterday, and we'll start with injuries. J.J. Watt can possibly be one of the best defensive players of all time, but he can't seem to stay on the field. Looks like he's possibly out for the year with a fractured leg. Is he just one of those guys that has all the talent at this stage of his career, but he just can't get his body to do what he wants it to do?
Well, you know what? The human body, especially when you start talking about football, Paul, is just like a car. You go spend a lot of money on a brand new car or a nice used car. The second you start having engine problems, what happens? I mean, it's never the same after that. Then next thing you know, your electrical system is going to start to go. Then your tires are going bad on you. That's the same thing that's happened to J.J. Watt. He, I mean, started out with obviously the, you know, body of a, you know, just a, almost like a Greek statue, but he's falling apart one piece at a time. And the worst place to be when your body is deteriorating on you at that rate of speed is in the NFL, because it's not like you're going to, you know, he can rehab, you know, you had the back surgeries, all that type of stuff. Once you start having those things, it's not like they ever get to 100% anyway, and then your main goal is to go out and inflict more pain on yourself. And now he's just, I mean, you might almost want to call him injury prone. He's damaged goods. I saw a stat just a little bit ago, but at the end of this season, he'll have missed 24 out of the last 32 games because he's officially done for the year now.
Yeah. Yep. And you know what? You're so right, because you overcompensate your body, or it overcompensates itself when something is going wrong with another body part. And so it weakens that other, the other structure around you. But let me ask you this. Do you think it could be his training? Because I remember when David Boston played here, he looked like a linebacker as a wide receiver, and he kept breaking down, and some people thought he got too much upper body for the size of his legs, and his legs couldn't support the hits plus the extra muscle he had up top.
There's a lot to be said for that. That's very true. And, you know, if you look at your, like, they make fun of Tom Brady's body. Remember his body coming out of college? And he hasn't changed much over the years because his job is to not get bulky. You know, he wants to be limber, do a lot of stretching. The end thing now with a lot of the athletes is more flexibility in exchange for all the big bulk and the strength. Even your Jerry Rice, remember, he was out there taking ballet and things like that.
Yeah.
So, and I know JJ plays a different position. His is for strength. But if I was trying to do anything with him as a trainer earlier in his career, I would have said less bulk, more flexibility, because he's already a big man. I mean, he looks like he can lift a dog on gym all by, you know, by himself all at once. So he didn't necessarily need more. I think, you know, you put more bulk on, you're stressing your joints, you're stressing your ligaments, and obviously with these knees and stuff like that, he's already had back issues. So, you know, it looks like the beginning of the end for him, and you say that thinking is way too soon. That, you know, he's really still a young guy and just, you know, in his dominance in the league. But, and I'll throw another one out to you, and I think it's different because Gronkowski is more of a product of just being a battering ram. And you can see he can't stay healthy at this point in time either. It always seems to happen to the really big, bulky guys, you know, more than it does the guys that have more flexibility and less muscle in their mass.
You know, someone else that comes to mind when I think of that and think of too much working out and too much injury stuff is our running backs, because they try to prepare themselves to take hits and they bulk up when it seems like Pilates and yoga would help them a little bit more than being bulky taking hits, because everyone talks about little backs, but smaller backs usually tend to be a little bit better because you can't direct hit them.
Yeah, exactly. And those guys will tell you that their elusiveness is what saves them and keeps them in the league longer. But at the same time, they said they don't need all that bulk. Like, their quickness. Look at the Sproles. There is no reason Darren Sproles should have lasted this long in the league, but he's short of stature. You know, he's well put together, but he's not what you call one of those muscle heads. He's pretty much, like I said, trying to catch him is like trying to catch a paper bag floating in the air, man. It's ridiculous. Those, you know,
yeah.
I would steer more toward that if I was a running back, and like you said, some of these other guys. And if you even take it a step further, Paul, look what the weight room did for Tiger Woods, of all people.
Yeah.
A golfer,
yeah,
who never even needed it in the first place.
That's a very good point. Odell Beckham Jr. never was right when he came back to the field. Was still kind of banged up, ankle was still sore. Now it's fractured. Now he's out for the year, making his $1.8 million. Should he have come back before he was 100% right? Because there's no guarantee now that the Giants are going to pay him what he's worth, because they're going to say, we don't know what you got until you play again.
Yeah, that's a tricky one right there. With the status of that organization right now, you would think they'd want to keep the one face that, you know, brings people into the stands, because obviously 0-5, Eli, you know, they look pitiful. And the only thing that might save them is having Odell on that roster. But at the same time, you know, it's an investment into a tainted product. You know, he's banged up right now. He's done for the year. Who knows what he's going to come back, you know, how he's going to come back from this injury. I'm a betting man, though. I would think that they'll be smart enough to throw the contract at him as he goes through his rehab. He'll get his money, I think, because think of the other 29 or 31 teams out there that would pay Odell what he's looking for. So I think the Giants, if they're smart, they'll give him his cheese.
How bad are they?
The Giants? Oh, they are putrid.
Yeah.
I mean, God, oh, my goodness. They look so bad. And once again, the team that you thought they could get healthy against, the team that usually finds a way to lose every game possible, they come in there and the Giants decide, hey, we don't want you guys to have that title. That's ours. Give that to us. We're going to go ahead. We're going to figure out a way to lose this game, and that's exactly what they did. Dropping like flies out there too, man. Oh, I'd hate to have the blue and white, the blue on right now, because they, I mean, you might just be coming down the elevator and sneeze and break a knee or something at this point in that organization.
Four wide receivers they lost yesterday. They had a tight end playing one of the wide receiver spots. You know, and I could ask you this. If you're a DB, and I know tight ends are bigger and they can body you out, but when you have a tight end running a fly route and you're a cornerback, are you smiling at that point?
Oh, you're ecstatic. I mean, those guys are just out there, not necessarily, you start to be on top of your game, but now a lot of pressure is off because the lid is on that offense. You can't, nobody's going to, the tight end, I don't care who you are, you're not running by DBs. So those guys can now start squatting on routes, or, you know, they can actually send additional stunts and stuff like that up front because they know they don't have to double team anybody in the backside. So that was that was almost too easy for San Diego once those guys all started dropping. And it was absolutely, you know, like then you get, you know, scatterbrained Eli. Eli looked like he's always just, somebody just asked him what the square root of pi times 75,000 is. He looked confused all the time.
Giants upcoming schedule at Broncos. Seattle
Ball.
Comes to town, and then
Ball.
The Rams come to town. Then they get to the bye week. They could be 0-8. I profess that even if they get a win somewhere out of there, Ben McAdoo's lost that team, and his voice needs to go away.
Absolutely.
I mean,
but the thing you got to remember, too, the thing that he doesn't have is the cachet that Coughlin had with two championships, two Super Bowls.
Right.
So, you know, Coughlin, if this is under Coughlin's watch, you say, hey, look, just like with Eli, you always have to throw, well, he did win us a couple Super Bowls. So, you know, he's got nothing to stand on other than, you know, what he's shown, and he's got to go if you ask me.
You know, it's weird because usually when coaches are about to get fired, they have players that stand up for them. And in the NFL, if your quarterback is on your side, that's usually a good person to have on your side. But he's thrown him under the bus twice already. And Odell Beckham is now out hurt. What named player could possibly be on his side? So I don't even see that as a possible saving grace for him.
Well, here's the thing, too. It's how you lose, too. When you look that pitiful, it's, you know, like, take for instance, San Francisco has not won a game yet either. But they actually look competitive. They've been in some of these games, you know, and this was a lot less talent. So, but when you look at the Giants and these, you know, quote unquote, they were supposed to be one of the beasts in the East, you know, top of that division. They're 0-5, but it's how pitiful they look 0-5. So for me, that's a reflection of your head coach. You know, if everybody's out there flying around, you know, the spirit is good, but hey, we just had lost, have a couple bad breaks and stuff like that. How we can live with that? They just look. They look like they have no clue. They look pitiful and pathetic at the same time. And that's also hard to do in the NFL.
How good is Kansas City?
I got to be honest with you. Up until this week, I haven't necessarily been buying into them 100%. But if you look at what they have and what they've done consistently week in and week out, they're getting better too. Andy Reid has that offense clicking. The defense, especially at home, they went on – out to Houston. They gave up a bunch of points. A lot of that was garbage points late. But, I mean, they look really impressive. And I tell you what, man, my goodness, I might have to change my tune on Alex Smith. Whether, you know, we always talk about whether he could lead a team all the way to the promised land. If they keep it up at this point, you never know.
You know, it's amazing when you have speed, what that speed can do for a quarterback. Because, and this is no knock on Jeremy Maclin and whoever else they had there, but they never had a game changer. And even when they had that good slew of running backs, they never really had, it was like them and that person only. But they never really had game changers. I mean, even like I said, even when they had the good running backs, if they weren't on the field, they had no game changers. They have three or four guys now that can break at any time. And that seems like it's now made it, basically Alex Smith traded in a Toyota Camry and now he has a Mercedes. Because they can all break. Kareem Hunt, the kid that they just drafted. I don't know why his name is escaping me. The running back who, when asked to do stuff full time, couldn't but put on a beautiful move at the goal line after he caught the ball to get into the end zone because he was in space. It's almost like Andy Reid said, you know what? I've been putting around all this time, and now I've found some speed. I know how to use this speed, and he's doing a magnificent job. He's coach of the year right now.
And what he's doing, in my opinion, is brilliant, too, because he's using Alex Smith's strength to a T right now. You know, they're coming up with some of these little gimmicky plays. You know, the running back, he's got Kelsey, and, you know, these little shovel passes, and, you know, and the big killer is that doggone fake jet sweep they keep running. It holds the backside.
Oh,
yeah. They are just, I mean, that's a whole new element, you know, because now, and, you know, you saw what happened. Hunt was able to sneak out of the backside of one of those runs because of the backside. Clowney was held because of that jet sweep. So these are the little things that Andy's doing, and what you're going to see is a lot of offenses try, other teams try to duplicate what they're doing, but you have to have the personnel to do it. And this is what I would call Andy Reid's best personnel to fit the scheme of things that he's probably always wanted to do.
Yep. Game of the day, though, Dallas and Green Bay. Dak Prescott showed he is not afraid of the moment, but that doggone Aaron Rodgers, is when he came on the field with a minute and 11 seconds, I tweeted, is it enough time? Did they leave him too much time? And obviously, yes. How, Ed? I mean, good Lord. Is there anything he can't do?
Well, here's the thing he can't do, Paul. He can't stop the clock if you don't let him, if you don't stop it yourself. Why is Dallas throwing a pass on second and one, taking about 30 extra seconds off the clock at a minimum? So now, yes, that's a bad man. But, like I said, they would not allow him to go back up there and put that extra 30, 35 seconds back on the clock. That was stupidity on Dallas's part to even give him that much time in the first place. But like you said, once they gave it to him, game over. I was just like you. I was thinking, I was like, that's way too much time for Aaron. I said, if they think this game is over, they're sadly mistaken. And sure enough, they were. And like I said, it was the stupidity of the Dallas coaching staff. What they were thinking, hey, let's score and let's make it interesting. Let's score as fast as we can and, you know, see how exciting we can make this last portion of the game instead of just grind it out. Let's leave Aaron with maybe 35 seconds on the clock, maybe something like that, which makes it a whole lot more difficult of a task. And get this, not only are we going to leave the extra time, we're not going to force them to burn the one timeout they have, too. So they got that in their back pocket as well.
I didn't understand what Dallas was doing there at all. I looked at him, and as soon as he completed his first pass, I said, he's going for the win. He's not even thinking about a field goal. That's not even on his mind. He's going for the win, and then they're out. I mean, it appears that Dallas Stadium is his second home because all he does when he goes down there is win. That's home away from home for him. Cardinals. This is a 7-9, 8-8, 6-10 somewhere ball club. I've said it before, and I'm going to say it again. I think Carson Palmer is up there in age where he can still make plays. He just can't make them consistently enough. And I don't know if that means he's done, but I definitely don't think that he's ready every week. The team did not look ready. And they just look bad. There's no other way to say it. They just look bad.
I couldn't agree with you more. And I'm looking past this year because I'm just like you. This is starting to look more like a 7-9 or 6-10 season. I fear more for their future than I do for their present because as bad as they're playing now, they have not prepared for the winter. They have not prepared for the point we're going to have to move on from Carson. And, I mean, what does that mean for the organization? We all know what it looks like when they don't have a quarterback. You know, we witnessed that a few years ago when there was like basically a cavalcade one after the other of starting quarterbacks coming through here, wasting some of Larry Fitzgerald's, you know, great years, good years. But I'm telling you, man, they, as bad as it is right this second, it might get a whole lot worse, and that's pretty scary because we know what that stadium looks like when they go into these, you know, bad seasons, and we never want to go back to those days, I'm telling you.
No, no, you're right. They have done, for all the good stuff they've done in the last 4 or 5 years, they've done a poor job preparing the quarterback of the future. And, you know, the same could be said of Pittsburgh. As honestly, Ben Roethlisberger looks like Carson Palmer. Some games he has it. Yesterday against Jacksonville, he didn't. 5 interceptions, and the Jaguars, with their 2 running backs, I've never seen Pittsburgh get punched in the mouth like that before. And Leonard Fournette and Chris Ivory just literally, in that 3rd and 4th quarter, punched them right in the mouth. And the linemen, I know they were enjoying it, because when all they got to do is run block and let their running backs just punish the defensive backs in that secondary, they were all smiling. I mean, Fournette at one time did the wave over to one cornerback that he saw was coming at him. Like, wave, like, come on, you come get some too. When they're doing that, when running backs are doing that, there's nothing you can do at that point, because their linemen are beating that front 7 so bad, everything is in the second level tackles. And when running backs know that, there's nothing you can do.
Well, the last thing, and you can ask any DB, Paul, the last thing they want to do on this earth is tackle a running back coming downhill. And that's what linebackers and defensive linemen are there for. When you start getting those running backs creeping into your back, excuse me, into the back of your defensive formation, that spells nothing but trouble. And that, like you said, was the equal of Jacksonville basically manhandling the front 7 of the Pittsburgh Steelers, and quite honestly, on both sides of the ball as well, because they were all up in the Roethlisberger, but he just made some very poor decisions as well. And he almost had one of those looks, those Eli looks on his face, where he almost given up when it started to really get bad. And you really, like, I don't remember seeing Roethlisberger with that type of look many a time in my life. But, you know, like I said, as far as the Jacksonville Jaguars, you got to give them a lot of credit. They had a game plan, went in there, and, I mean, they pretty much not just punched him in the mouth, man. They punched him in the mouth and said, I also want your lunch money, too. Give it to me. And Steelers pretty much just turned to give it, gave it to him. That was a Debo right there, man. What you got on my 40, homie?
It was. And you know what? Every time you say that that Eli Manning face, I think of Laurel from Laurel and Hardy with that look on his face. So, last NFL thing, because I got a couple quick baseball questions before we get out of here. Is Miami Vice coming back to Miami? Because their O-line coach was caught on tape. I love how we have to say, because I read it, we have to say a white substance, because it hasn't been confirmed that it was cocaine, telling his love life story for a Las Vegas model who has a real name and another model name, and how he misses her. Because he was snorting a white substance. I think we can rule out powder, and I think we can rule out flour. How dumb do you have to film it yourself and send that to a female? What are we doing?
Well, let's just put it this way. I don't know too many people out there snorting Splenda, so I guess we can all assume we know what it is. And, you know, for me, man, that is the epitome of just stupidity. Now you get to a point, Paul, where you start adding it up. Okay, he's going to film it. He's going to send it via social media to some model / stripper, whatever you want to call her out there. And then he has the audacity to do it on work property and talk about, hey, can you believe I'm going to go to a meeting right before I do this, right after I do this? And, I mean, there is dumb, and then there's dumb, you know what. I mean, here's the thing. How do you even come back and clean out your locker after this? I mean, not your locker, your office. I mean, you gotta walk by people to get to your office. I mean, you can never show your face again.
You know what you say then? The heck with it. They'll ship it to me. I'm not coming.
Yeah.
They'll ship it to me.
Oh,
and he
was.
I love how they say he resigned. Yeah, he resigned because he was about to get fired. And you know, and you want to hear something even more sad than that? He'll work again. He'll say that he needed help. He'll get help, and he'll work again. Just that simple.
How about this surprising fact, Paul? He was making $2 million a year as an offensive line coach. I don't know what the going rate is, but I never knew it was anywhere near $2 million. No,
You know what? There's an old saying my dad used to say, and I can't say it on radio, but she must have the most powerful stuff on earth to make you give up $2 million snorting cocaine at work sending videos on social media. It must have been outstanding for him to go that far.
I love the best part of the whole story, though, Paul, is that she posted the video because she was just tired. She wanted to basically stand for a cause. You know, she's tired of all the rhetoric and that. You know, dog away, she's blackmailing. He probably tossed her to the side. She's like, okay, I got you. But that was her excuse. She wanted to stand for the cause.
Wow. Speaking of which, I'm going to say this really quick because I got a baseball question. We only got like 3 minutes, and you don't have to respond if you don't want to on this one. But I loved, and I'm being so sarcastic, the statement made at the Colts San Francisco game yesterday. So now we have the government protesting the protesters, because to me that's all it was. I did write an article, throw it on the sportscave.com if anybody wants to check it out. But it's so amazing to me that instead of that side saying, let's stick around to the end of this game and talk to these players and let's get this worked out and get everything on the table and then we can just crush it and be done with it. But no, let me fly from Vegas to Indianapolis so I can walk out on the one team that we know that protests the most, so I can send a message that we're not going to put up with this nonsense, to get back on a plane and fly all the way back to the West Coast.
Okay. There's money too.
Yep, so that's just my thought. I think it's crazy that we just can't have a dialogue, and it's obvious if the higher-ups want to have a dialogue with the players, it's there for them to have. Real quick baseball question. I'm sorry, go ahead. I didn't know if you wanted to respond.
No,
go ahead.
No, I was going to – just real quick, I don't care if our phones are tapped, Paul. We have the stupidest and dumbest leader of our country ever in history, and enough said. You said it perfectly. I try not to even talk about the idiot myself as much as I can.
Yeah, I just thought that was crazy. You had the perfect opportunity to get this stuff done, and you didn't. 2 minutes left. I'm hearing Girardi might not be asked back for the Yankees. Dumb move by them, considering he's got this young team in. They're counting on all his good because of the bad move of him not doing the replay. Should the Yankees let him go, and who can they get this better?
If it's not a good fit, if there's any question to it, with the talents you have, I say, yeah, you move on, as sad as that might be, because I think he's done a good job there. He's just not what I would call a great fit, especially for that younger talent. I think Girardi's more of a manager of the veteran teams like he used to have when they used to bring a lot of free agents and stuff like that in. I just think at this point in time, especially, you know, he's not the greatest tacticianer as well. The fact that he blew that opportunity to challenge that, you know, shows that maybe there's somebody out there better. And I just think if it's not a great fit, you move on.
Diamondbacks win tonight. Stay alive.
I think they get one. I do. I think they get one tonight.
And tell everybody what your show is, how they can listen to you, and how they can follow you.
Easy Sports Talk is on NBC Sports Radio, 1060 AM, every Saturday from 10 to 12. There's the website, edsmithspeaks.com, on Twitter and Instagram as well, at edsmithspeaks. Appreciate you, Brother Paul.
Hey, man, I appreciate you coming on. We'll hook up with you later. You know, I had your partner on last week, Mr. Jim Marshall.
Yeah, we'll
man.
Be out there tonight, man.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Ed.
You got it, Paul.
That's the one and only Ed Smith, called in on the Kerry Lackey Law Line. You can follow us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook fan page at the Sports. You can get me directly on Twitter at PLR on Sports. You can get us at the Sports Cave as well on Twitter, sportscave.com. Cave is always with the K. Thank you, everyone. This is Cave Show. This is PLR. Have a good day.